Alrighty, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Kevin Gray, All City. We'll be talking Mavs Summer League with him. Time now for a college football darty with the Chiefs.
Yeah, man, the season's right around the corner. Let's get after it right after this.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, f***ing joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get the right man, Cole.
How about this, man? Jeremiah Smith, we know that he has been hyped up in a huge way, and he's delivered time and time again through his first two seasons as a wide receiver at Ohio State. You couldn't draw it up any better physically. The dude is just ridiculous. And he might have been a number one overall pick in each of the last two drafts, even though he wasn't eligible to come out. Like, this is as hyped up of a wide receiver as I can remember in college football, and he's delivered. He really has, so much so that I was actually kind of taken aback by this. I saw that Jeremiah Smith is pretty close to breaking all-time Ohio State records in so many different categories. He's 39 receptions away from breaking the all-time receptions record at Ohio State. And he's only played two seasons. Wow. You know, I feel like there was a stretch where they had probably really, really dominant wide receivers that were playing all 4 years. But you got 39 receptions away from breaking that record. He's only 341 receiving yards away from breaking the all-time receiving record at Ohio State. And he's 9 touchdowns away before he breaks the all-time receiving touchdowns record at Ohio State. I mean, he had 15 touchdowns his freshman year, and he had 12 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, he has just been totally ridiculous. Through two seasons, it's 163 catches, over 2,500 yards receiving, and 27 touchdowns. Jeez. So he's right there getting ready to probably own all of the receiving records at Ohio State when it's all said and done. Mm. And he's in store for what I would imagine to be a pretty dang big season. Julian Sain now with a little bit more experience under his belt, tossing him the ball, and they still got great other players around him from a receiver standpoint. So just thought that was really dang impressive that he is that close. I mean, it could just be a few games in before he breaks two of those three records. 9 touchdowns will probably take a little bit of time, but he's had 15 and 12 in his first two seasons when it comes to touchdowns and receptions. So cannot wait for the draft process next year when you guys are studying him up. And
pretty easy eval for that
Broaddus guy. Is making all-time type comparisons like Bijan Robinson, Barry Sanders. Nailed it. And now we get Jeremiah Smith. I can't wait to see what that comp is going to be because he's just a physical freak show. Now, I saw from On3 Sports, we have the toughest 2026 college football schedules. Mm-hmm. This matters. This matters. And it sucks if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan.
Yeah, I think we went through this on CBS Sports, and it was like 7 out of the 10 were all SEC schools.
Yeah, the SEC is definitely dominating when it comes to the toughest schedules. OU has the second hardest schedule in the entire country. So I know, Walchuk, you were pretty heavy in your optimism for
over
OU.
Over 7.5 wins, I think it's pretty doable.
Over 7.5 wins, I think, is definitely doable. But for Sooners fans that are trying to get that double-digit victory this
playoff
season
again,
you will have earned it if you do it, because they're saying you have the second toughest schedule in all of college football next season. And then Texas is third. So Texas, OU, Arkansas, those are your top three most difficult schedules. Kentucky, Ole Miss round out the top five. Your LSU Tigers, Broaddus, sit at 11.
Yeah.
The 11th most difficult schedule in college football this year. Texas A&M is 9. Okay, so those are all the main prominent schools there. But
how many do you have? The top 10, you said?
I have the top 20.
Yeah, the top 20. Can you give me the top 10? I'm just making sure SEC. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, so it's Arkansas with the most difficult, OU at 2, Texas at 3, Kentucky 4, Ole Miss 5, Mississippi State 6, Florida 7, Ohio State 8, A&M 9, and the South Carolina Gamecocks with the 10th most difficult schedule in college football.
So it was nine out of the top 10 were SEC schools. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Just means more.
Who was the only one there that you said?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah.
But then, like, 11 through 15 is LSU, Missouri, Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama. So, yeah, the SEC schedules are pretty dang difficult this
year.
Kind of
felt like last year, though, that maybe the Big Ten was probably the best conference in football.
Yeah, I mean, that continues to be the conversation. Yeah. Which one is better? I think the Big Ten at the top is better. The SEC, I believe, has more depth in terms of just even their bottom programs are still pretty solid. But the top of the Big Ten, I don't think it's something you can really argue at this point. Over the last few years, that has been the most dominant conference. Now, we have a couple of clips to play. I would like to start with an all-time dunking here from Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, wow.
He was at the, I believe it was the Barrett Sports Media, like, audio summit where he has, like, an entire weekend dedicated to prominent media members coming in and just doing conferences. And so they're on the stage, they're answering questions, and this was Paul Feinbaum dunking on Brian Kelly.
Spending 20 minutes with Brian Kelly for three consecutive years every Monday, I think I would rather have a colonoscopy on the stage right now without anesthesia. It's that painful.
Can you say anything more mean than that?
That sounds awful.
Wow. He is alleging that he is willing to strip down butt naked on a stage in front of thousands of people.
Well, he might be covered by a blanket, but still.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
The humiliation of going through an intimate medical procedure like that by itself. Intimate.
With no anesthesia. He's awake the entire time. He would rather do that than spend 20 more minutes conversing with Brian Kelly.
Yikes.
Former LSU Tiger head coach. That is just incredible, dude.
Tip of the cap to my Notre Dame friends who are probably listening. They warned me about this one. They said the minute when he was hired, they go, good luck.
Yeah, you're going to hate life with this guy.
He's just a jerk.
Good luck with all that. Yeah.
Okay. So now we'll close things down here in the Darty with our buddy Nate Tice.
Hey.
Nate Tice was talking with the Pro Football Focus fellas, and they were talking about the quarterback class that is going to be coming out in the draft next year, and college football is littered with hyped up quarterbacks right now, for sure. And hopefully they all meet the moment and it can be a ton of fun. But Arch Manning, of course, is at the top of that list. This is Nate Tice just giving you the scouting report, and he's quite the fan of Arch Manning.
He just has tools that are the rare tools. Like, I think he's a really good athlete, an excellent athlete, I'd even say. I would say his arm is good to very good, but not elite strength, but well above good. And I do think also is that he throws one of the best deep balls I've ever seen. He has the things that I look for as a number one pick, which is, can you create explosive plays with your arm and legs? And he can. And on top of it, he's not, yes, he can create and do all the stuff off platform. His sense of timing, how he moves in the pocket, he's tough as all get out, which really matters in the NFL because pockets are so muddy. And so you get these really tight pockets and you have to kind of like bounce around and throw sidearm. He can do that already. And he's a perfect example of results weren't indicative of his process. Or even just box score stats and losses. I would say you watch the Florida game. It's actually very impressive when you watch it back. A game that a lot of people have said he would play terribly and he got hurt in was against Kentucky. You watch that back. It's so impressive what he was doing that night. And he got no help. So, again, that's where process can lead to that stuff. So I think he's got all the goods. Like, he's... I've been struggling to find a great comparison for him. You know, there's some Drake May there. I would think May, I think, had a little more juice on his arm on a line drive, but they both had that deep ball. They both can create. I think Arch is a little bit better in moving the pocket, which is kind of cool. But it's a very exciting kind of group of skills and traits that can even get better this year.
So he's all in on Arch Manning, and he was talking about how he would have taken him over Fernando Mendoza in this year's draft. And that was a year that wasn't overly successful there for Arch, but with whatever Nate Tice sees, and Tice is really good. Like, he was a quarterback. His dad, of course, Mike Tice, was a coach offensively in the NFL for a long time, and he's done a pretty good job when you track the way that he evaluates these quarterbacks. Like, he was a Drake May guy in a big way over even Caleb Williams at the time when they were coming out together. But he evaluates quarterbacks pretty impressively, and he's all in on Arch Manning. So that should give Longhorns fans a lot of excitement.
Nate was a quarterback?
He was.
At Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Wisconsin, and then he was like a practice squad, just kind of bounce around the NFL for a couple of years. But he's been in media for longer now than he was in the NFL.
I mean, that means something, doesn't it? For as far as the credibility of your report, if Arch Manning wants to run, then I would be excited about bringing him into my NFL situation. You know, especially with how important quarterback sneaking is on third and short, fourth and short. Like the added value there is pretty significant, and I think Arch is. I would just say, how do you come out on a guy that you say has all the traits, but maybe doesn't show you the intangibles as much?
I this is where I disagree with him. I think the underneath stuff, the quick game stuff, I think there's really good accuracy there. His intermediate ball and the long ball, I totally disagree with him on that. Mm-hmm. I think there's times when you watch Arch Manning stand in the pocket and make throws. He, you know, we talk about throwing from different slots, different arm angles and stuff like that. Like there are games where he is just wildly inaccurate. And I think where you were going with, if you tell me Arch Manning is going to run and be tough and, you know, and make people pay that way, I'm totally on board with you. But for him to say deep ball, intermediate ball, stuff like that, this is the biggest problem with Arch Manning is, and I think Arch Manning doesn't always see the field all that great. I think there are times when you watch him, he tends to get locked on receivers. And you could see throws where he will throw to a guy that is clearly covered. And if you're not always accurate, then it turns into like a ball that's deflected or incomplete pass. But I think Arch is a good quarterback. I don't agree with him about all the praise that he put on him in this particular report.
You'd rather have the Ohio State receiver?
I would rather have another quarterback.
Yeah.
If we're just talking quarterbacks, mm-hmm. I would just rather have another quarterback. And so that's kind of how I look at that. I just think there's the inconsistencies of him throwing the football are what gives you the most problems. And I don't think he always sees the field as well as he needs to see it.
Very interesting. All right, we got one down, four to go here on an MLB All-Star Week Monday here, Home Run Derby tonight. Kevin Gray, All-City, talking Mavs Summer League with you coming up next in the Nation.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.